I'm John Batchelor. This is the New World Report with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We're going to Venezuela, but first a tribute to someone who has left us, Roger Pardo Maurer. Joseph, who was he? What did he represent to you and others? Good evening again.
Good evening, John, and thank you for allowing me some time to do this. So Roger Pardo Maurer was a good friend of mine. He was a good friend of many people in the U.S. and Latin America. He was a freedom champion, and most notably, he was the former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Western Hemisphere. That's the top Pentagon official for Latin America and Canada. He was involved in key policies such as Plan Colombia. He was involved in a lot of the trade negotiations with Mexico. And he even dates all the way back to the Cold War, because before he was in the government, he was actually helping the Sandinistas back during that era against the communists in Central America. He passed away, unfortunately, in what looks to be like a heart attack or something similar, so waiting for the details, in Costa Rica, which was actually his home country. His parents served as ministers in the country. They're a very prominent family in Costa Rica. He was there on vacation and he passed away. But Roger, I think, and I really, the point I want to make is he was a unique individual in the sense he had a brilliant mind of a scholar. I mean, he graduated from Yale with honors. He was, you know, incredibly bright. I learned a lot from him. He's glad to consider him a mentor. But he was also someone that had operational capabilities. He was able to think big picture and also think about the details. He served in the Special Forces. He was a Green Beret. In fact, the reason he left the Pentagon in 2006 under then Secretary Rumsfeld, who was a good friend of his, was because he wanted to serve in combat with his Special Forces unit. He was an undersecretary for Latin America, but he was also a reservist in the United States Special Forces. And so Secretary Rumsfeld said, you could serve as the Pentagon official or you could be a Special Forces soldier. You can't be both. And he chose to be a Special Forces soldier, and he went to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan. So he was a brave individual. He had operational capabilities, but he also had a grand strategy, a big wisdom. And a lot of what I've learned throughout the years in terms of how to think about Latin America from a big picture, grand strategy perspective, come from my conversations and many teachings with Roger Pardo. We're going to miss him. He was, you know, one of the best that I've ever met on the Western Hemisphere, and cared a lot about the hemisphere. And he specifically cared a lot about the U.S. engagement in the hemisphere. And he always thought that we should do more. And I believe we will. So, thank you.
Roger Pardo Maurer, former deputy assistant Secretary for Western Hemisphere Affairs, former Green Beret. And we turn to the sphere of influence that Roger cares most about, the Americas. Ernesto, your opinion. The Reuters is reporting from Caracas that the opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado, who's extremely successful as a representative of opponent of the Maduro regime, is facing increasing pressure from her allies, writes Reuters, to choose a substitute to run in her place because she's been banned from being on the ballot. What do you make of this idea of backing away from a confrontation with Maduro? Do you think it's wise? Would that work? In this instance, Maduro is extremely confident. Is it likely to be something that is a success or a failure? You're a measure.
Well, John, I think it would be a very bad idea. And I don't think Maria Corina herself is willing to back up. It's not. I know her, and I think it's not her way of being. But those pressures come from people who always want to compromise here and there, and that sort of compromising will lead to the legitimation of Maduro. Will lead to Maduro holding an election, Putin style, winning the election, and people saying, "Okay, this was a regular election, maybe with some problems here and there. Maybe Maria Corina didn't." But people will forget about the details, and they'll keep, "Okay, Maduro was elected." This is the worst possible scenario. I think anyone who cares about the Venezuelans, about democracy in Venezuela and in the world, should not advise Maria Corina to back up and to nominate a replacement or anything like that. They should keep insisting that an election without Maria Corina is not a fair election in Venezuela. That's the only way of pressuring Maduro I mean, he would never allow her to run, but at least you would not let him give him this on a silver plate, give him the election on a silver plate, because that's what's happening. So, unfortunately, Well, in some cases in life, maybe compromise is good. But in this case, it leads to the interests of the tyrants. It leads to the interests of the totalitarians, not only in Venezuela, but in the world.
Joseph, President Maduro, not recognized as legitimate by the United States, has now been nominated unanimously or near to, looking to be the second Putin with an only applause. He seems extremely confident that he can do this despite the threat of sanctions by the United States being reimposed. And now, as Ernesto has just commented, Machado is being urged to step aside. What is the plan here? Where is Maduro going with this? He's all powerful now. What has he won out of the election? It's scheduled for July.
No, Maduro is just consolidating more and more power, not in Venezuela, but throughout the region. I mean, he's eyeing Colombia. He's eyeing Brazil. He's obviously eyeing Guyana, and maybe in a more aggressive military manner than what we're accustomed to. And in that, he's looking at the elections as a way to basically put a political cover on all his authoritarian aggressions in his neighborhood. And so he could say he's a legitimate president of Venezuela or wherever he designates could be. That's the reason he doesn't want Maria Corina, because if Maria Corina, who has the legitimate support of the Venezuelan people, becomes the next president of Venezuela, things will radically change. He will not be in control. The whole Chavista experiment and Bolivarian revolution will probably come to an end. And he doesn't want that. So that's why he can't get her on the ballot. He doesn't want her on the ballot. He just wants people on the ballot that he's going to be able to control in the unlikely event that anybody else other than him wins. But most likely he would win and he would continue the project forward. And that's his main intention with the election, just to legitimize his dictatorship.
And Machado, Ernesto recommends she not listen to her critics. What is your opinion, Joseph?
But Maria Corina Machado has always been the voice of the Venezuelan opposition, the legitimate voice, because there's been a lot of opposition figures that have come and gone. Many of them were fake opposition because they had back channel ties to the Maduro regime. Maria Corina has not been one of those. She's been authentic. She's been legitimate. And that's why she has the support of the Venezuelan people. But she doesn't need to outlast Maduro. Maduro's never going to let her be the president of Venezuela as long as he's in charge. But she doesn't need to outlast Maduro. She just needs to outlast President Biden, because the White House, the State Department, had never liked Maria Corina Machado. They've done a lot to try to ostracize her. They've only warmed up to her recently because she had so much popular support inside the country. But, you know, we're going to have an election in the United States. And when the election happens, and if there is a change in the White House, Maria Corina needs to be that face, that representation of the Venezuelan civil society, of the Venezuelan people, to the hopefully future president or next president of the United States. So that's really what the game that she needs to play. She doesn't need to be playing a game to try to, you know, figure out how she's going to maneuver and weave and walk a fine line between the Biden administration, the Maduro regime, the fake opposition, because that's probably a road to disaster.
So far, we've been gloomy in our reporting, and I turn to what could be a positive throughout the whole region. That's President Milei in Argentina looking to make radical changes to a government that has been satisfied with debt and poverty. 70% childhood poverty in Colombia, an unacceptable amount. The Reuters is reporting on people picking garbage in the street in Buenos Aires, unacceptable conduct. And this is what Milei has inherited. He has a radical program, something that can be described as the chainsaw he campaigned with to cut off ministries. But Ernesto, I come to you with the headline that says Mr. Milei has more than just hunger to fight. He has a Senate. Argentina's Senate rejects economic mega decree and blow for Milei. This is Buenos Aires. Argentina's Senate voted to reject President Milei's sprawling mega decree of economic reforms. Now, he expected this, Ernesto. Is this something that's important to the whole region? Is the region cheering for him to succeed or fail? Because it looks like his own Senate turned his back on him.
Oh, yes, John. I think people who care for freedom, economic and political freedom in the region and across the world should be rooting for Milei, because he has a very clear agenda. He believes in freedom authentically, I think. Well, whatever he can do as a president without approval or legislation from Congress, he's doing. And this is having incredible results. When he took office, inflation was 30% a month in Argentina. Now it's about 14% for the last month. So it's clearly, well, still high, but on a very good trajectory. This position of the Argentina Senate represents a fight that we have in Brazil, that we have elsewhere, between a political elite who has their privileges, who concentrate power and don't want to change that, and a population who, one way or another, believes that you don't have only to change people inside the same system, but you have to change the system. And this sort of corrupt crony system must be replaced. So it's a question of an old question of elite versus population as a whole. And I do think that Milei represents people who want sincere change. So it's very unfortunate that the Argentinian political elite are digging their heels in the ground, and of course they want to protect their power and their privileges, but this has very sore consequences. People, I've seen that. I've been many times in Argentina recently. Yes, people are picking garbage in the streets. Yes, you see, even in Buenos Aires, which is richer, you see. Poor families, poor women and kids, especially begging for money. So that's the other side. It's not a question, capitalism versus social policies. No, it's corruption and poverty versus liberty. I think that's the game.
Joseph, just because I mentioned the Reuters articles on childhood poverty, I don't know how widespread it is throughout the Americas. 70% seems to be so overwhelming. How did we get to this, Joseph? Was nobody paying attention? 70% in a country as rich as Argentina is in resources and education? How did this happen?
Oh, no, Argentina's had 100 years of bad economic policies, bad social policies, just bad policies in general. I mean, they have two infections. The first is Peronism, which you got to go back pretty much a little less than 100 years, where Juan and Evita Perón essentially introduce corporate socialism into the country, social welfare, and try to make the Argentines more dependent on the government, which actually led to a lot of debt, and the debt led to defaults, which led to the inflation. And basically, they had a big crisis at the turn of the century that introduced the second infection, which is Kirchnerismo. Nestor Kirchner first, and then he passed away, and his wife, and then President Cristina Kirchner, who added another layer to the social welfare that corporate socialism that the Peronistas introduced, which is kleptocracy. Cristina Kirchner is not just indicted, but she's also convicted of massive amounts of public corruption. So a lot of the money that's there to help to alleviate poverty and to do some of the things that even the Peronists wanted to do was stifled off into her own bank accounts or the bank accounts of her family. So this is where we have essentially the 100 years of the Peronism that turned into Kirchnerismo, that turned into kleptocracy. And Javier Milei is the anecdote to that. He's the one that came in. He said, we're done with this. But he calls it la casta in Spanish, which basically is like the establishment. He said, we can't do this anymore. We're going to not just be bankrupt, but we're going to be poor and we're going to be starving. We're going to become Venezuela. And the reason the Argentines elected him by an overwhelming majority is because he upheld that promise.
I'm speaking with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We turn to Central America when we come back. The vice president of the United States speaking to the new president of Guatemala. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.